throughout the nation and around the globe. From his heart to yours, it's Dear James Live, bringing you intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions.
Hello, beautiful soul family, and welcome to Weekly Wisdom and Insights, your home for spiritually guided transformation and empowerment. I am your host, Dear James, and together with the Unseen, Spirit Source and Symphony, we look at the current energies to the unseen eternal wisdom, and we go as guided. And there is much profound energy occurring this month, the month of April 2024, and it's been denoted by the unseen that it is really colossal in its form, in its energies. And so I just want to go to that for a second and show you with the astrological influences. We're going to just jump right in because there's so much to cover. And so as we've been noting from 320, March 20th to April 20th, and expanding out beyond that, there is this colossal occurrence of energies. And you'll see in a minute when I show you the astrological chart what they're talking about, what the unseen is talking about. And of course, as above, so below. And so as you can see on 325, we had the full moon lunar eclipse. On 4-1, it's Mercury stations retrograde. So that just occurred on Monday. So literally we have eclipse season on top of Mercury retrograde, on top of the Jupiter-Uranus alignment coming. It's a lot of powerful energy, and I'm sure you all are feeling it. I have some personal anecdotes I'm going to add in. Welcome, Ava. Welcome, Olivia. And then, of course, coming up this coming Monday on April 8th is like the eclipse, the total solar eclipse. It's going to occur at 19 degrees Aries, and it will be the counter or the completion to the August 2017 total solar eclipse that occurred. And both of these are crisscrossing the United States. And remember, this, the ideal of the United States, it represents an ideal. It represents a higher opportunity, a higher mind, a higher vision of what's possible. It was considered and is considered the new world. And so we have all of that occurring over the United States, in some parts of Mexico and Canada. And then on the 10th of April, we have Mars and Saturn conjunct. It sets a new 2-year plus cycle, and it's Mars, which is action and the creative force and so forth, and Saturn, the great teacher. And so how we will reset with that. And then on April 20th, Jupiter conjunct Uranus. So colossal occurrence is what they're calling this. And colossal is extraordinarily great in size, extent, or degree. Gigantic, huge. I hope everyone's getting the picture. This is extraordinarily great in size, extent, or degree. Gigantic, huge. All of this energy. Why? Welcome, Alicia. And why? Well, let's take a look at the astrological chart for this upcoming April 8th total solar eclipse. And I'm going to show it to you in two different ways. So here you see on the screen with the Ben-Ben, the Ben-Ub, and the Ben-Ben. And remember, the unseen said to us, 2024, a capstone moment. So we've got this colossal moment within this capstone moment. The entire year is a capstone moment. What you can see on the inner natal chart here on the right is just a complete and utter pileup, congregation of planets in Pisces, Aries, and Taurus. I mean, they are just crammed all together. And there's lone Pluto is the only one that's really outside of all of the interpersonal and outer personal planets. The only one that's hanging out in Aquarius, the new way, is Pluto. So this is why it's colossal, it's big, because there's a lot. Remember, Pluto hasn't been in Aquarius since the French and American revolutions, the Industrial Revolution. And so It's literally 246 years. And then we have all of this planetary pileup, buildup over Pisces is the end of the astrological year, Aries is the beginning, and then, of course, Taurus is this grounding energy, this earth energy. So it's very interesting to see all of this. And then I'm just going to share my screen really quickly with you all to show you a much larger image of this astrological wheel just on its own, so that you get for a second, you can see the magnitude of it. All of this concentrated energy, all of these planets coming together. Now, the interesting thing, you see both the sun and the moon. The sun is the red circle with the dot in the center, and then the blue crescent moon. And then just above the sun is the symbol for Chiron and the wounded healer. So this total solar eclipse coming up in this eclipse season, the new moon, the sun, and Chiron are all at 19 degrees Aries. So it's a healing. With this being conjunct, meaning together with, it means that this is going to be a healing, colossal experience. These are healing energies. It may not, I'm just going to bring myself back here. It may not look like it. It may not feel like it. It may be chaotic, traumatic, but that doesn't make it negative. And I recently, just over the weekend on Easter Sunday, had a personal experience that was traumatic. And yet, when you stay centered and calm, you will see, you will recognize, you will immediately, when you allow, you will immediately see, ah, this is healing, it's beneficial, it will assist you moving forward. And while in the moment, it may feel, or your initial response may be traumatic and reactive and so forth, within nanoseconds, it's that the grace and humility of the moment will allow you to open and calm and center and be like, okay, and then you move right into the healing aspects of it. So bear all of that in mind. And by the way, this is going to be, because these energies are so big, there's no way we can get this all in an hour. So this week's show and next week's show, this week's show, part one, next week's show, part two, because we are dealing with a Mercury retrograde, an eclipse season, a Uranus conjunct Jupiter, a Mars conjunct Saturn. There's so much happening celestially, astrologically, and as above, so below. So we're going to break it into two shows, part one, part two. Let's jump in with our main theme, a threshold moment. If there was a single word that kept coming up over and over and over again in this preparation, the lead up to this week and the show and everything, it was the single word threshold. And so the unseen gave us a threshold moment and then reinvention. And when you're looking at the image up on the screen, you will see in the lower aspect, it is of a cathedral. And what's interesting is this center arch demonstrating a threshold. In the lower aspect, you see a double cross. It's known as the Cross of Lorraine, the Cross of Hungary, the Cross of Anjou. It was represented, that cross represented free France in World War II and so forth. It has a very long history, this Cross of Lorraine, Cross of Anjou, Cross of Hungary. And then when you cross the threshold, if you're moving upwards in the screen, you'll see upward and to the right, this eagle with the wings spread, and there's a radiant starburst behind the eagle. The eagle representing the higher mind, a higher octave. So a threshold moment, reinvention, meaning that we are crossing a line. Many, many, many shows ago, we had this, the crossing the Rubicon, and that was that point of no turning back. So this is a threshold moment. It's a no return. We don't go back to the way we were. We move forward. And the first thing the unseen gave us with that, in concert with this threshold moment, this colossal experience and so forth, is they said, be childlike again. To be childlike again. And then I heard innocence, awe and wonder, reinvention, renewal. And it reminded me of an experience almost 20 years ago when I moved to Paris. And I spoke no French, didn't know the language, the culture, had never lived abroad. I had traveled abroad, but never lived abroad. And the moral of the story was that what was required of me, living in a foreign country, a foreign language, everything foreign, was to become childlike again. It was to become raw, vulnerable, humble. And so through that surrender, you become the most empowered. Because through that, you are meeting life, others, people, places, in the experience, from this place of childlike awe and wonder, innocence, vulnerability. And yet, it didn't mean that, in my personal experience, it didn't mean that you were easy prey, that you were going to be taken advantage of. It's not that you lost your sovereignty or any of that sense. My father at the time asked me, well, you know, if something's wrong or, you know, and you don't speak the language and so forth, what will happen? And I said, well, you know, Papa, I figure if my head is bopping and my fingers wagging and my voice is elevated, they're going to understand that it's not a good moment, a good exchange. That's the moral. We can be humble, childlike, innocent, open, receptive to receive the new experience so as to grow, empower ourselves to, without abdicating or losing our sovereignty, our ability to protect ourselves. That is embodied in this experience because of all of these energies. So bear in mind over and over and over again, as you're facing any challenge, if it appears to be a challenge or any opportunity, positively moving forward, be childlike again. To be childlike again, and to be childlike again infers from the unseen that, again, they, you know, there's scripture that talks about you will not inherit, you know, you have to be childlike to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So there's an inference here of to be childlike again, meaning that there's a restoration of our purity, our innocence, a return, a going home to that childlike innocence that makes the world awe, wonder, innocence, reinvention, because anything's possible in that energy. There is nothing that will tell us that something isn't possible or that we can't do something or that when we approach it from a childlike sense that we don't discover and the way through or we don't receive the joy of the experience. There's a lot here. Okay, so again, our main theme, just bringing it up, a threshold moment, reinvention, along with the astrological influence, which is colossal occurrence. So this is a colossal occurrence, and with all of these major influences, and it's extraordinarily great in size, extent, degree, gigantic, huge, huge. Let's move into the main energies. So we are going to work with hexagram. In part one, we are going to work with hexagram 4, Youthful Folly, Try Again. It is the 4, it is the energy for the entire month. And then in part 2 next week, we're going to deal with all of the Sabian symbols that have to do with the April 8th total solar eclipse. So Youthful Folly, Try Again. Here they're talking to us about being childlike again, to be childlike again, the innocence of it. So this youthful folly. Number 3, a holdover, if you will, from last month, difficult beginnings, persevere. Because we are at the beginning of the Aquarian age, this new you know, Pluto in Aquarius for the first time in 246 years. So we are at the beginning, this matriarchal rule, we're at the beginning. We're at this changing over. So it can be difficult in the beginning. We persevere. It's an 8-year all year. It's about uniting and unite, come together. 15 is authenticity. It's also known as humility. So we were just speaking with my Paris experience, being humble and how humility really empowers you and it endears you. And it is wonderful to engage humility, because what does it bring about? Balance, grace, advancement. It's very receptive. It's very proactive. And then, of course, the one in the five becomes a six, and it's about the conflict. It's about letting go of the conflict, letting go of what does not serve us any longer. It's done and over with. So as we move through, and let me go to our mantra. I'm going to stack everything up in the front, and then we'll go through the actual meat of the messages and the energy. Our mantra: I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. There's this beauty of the color purple shimmering on the water. You see this walkway with the in the distance of a door illuminated, a threshold. You see the individual getting ready to cross through. And what's fascinating is the moon is up, the full moon is up in the upper right. And then you see almost, I keep referring to this as like the matrix, because you can see that you're moving from one dimension, reality, phase to another. And the beauty of our mantra, I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. It denotes the fact that it already exists. It denotes that it is calling us. It is a calling to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. And my spiritual fulfillment is the totality of who I am, my soul source connection, my soul. That is revealing the spiritual fulfillment. And so it is to say that it's already there. So anytime you feel as though you're lacking something, it's outside of you, you don't have what you need, everything about this energy, this moment, this colossal occurrence, all of this is saying to you, I'm open, ready, and willing to reveal, to see, to experience, to receive, to activate my spiritual fulfillment. It's already there. It's built into the DNA. It's built into the quote-unquote matrix. It's built into the moment. And that's what we will reveal. This energy is going to reveal from individual person to the whole of the whole. So whether it's a business, an institution, a government, it's going to reveal our spiritual fulfillment. And the only thing that accelerates that is I am open, ready, and willing. How open am I? How receptive am I? How proactive am I? Or am I trying to avoid the inevitable? Because it is inevitable. That's important. And the second thing, let me just tag this in. The second thing the unseen said was, I heard the word in quotes, invisible. So they're saying invisible, occult forces at play, at work. And so this quote invisible means we think it's invisible. We may, again, how open is your heart? How receptive are you to the unseen? So it may appear, quote unquote, invisible, but it's anything but invisible. It's ever present. So invisible occult forces at play, at work. And I loved the fact that they said at play, because it's a dance, it's a joy, life, our experience, our participation. It is play. It's works, plural. There's joy. So at play, at work. And then we've had this a few times over the course of our journey together on Weekly Wisdom and Insights. They said, so with this invisible occult forces at play, hyphen work, they said, come out, wherever you are. And of course, it's the iconic scene with Glinda the Good Witch and Dorothy as she lands in Munchkin Land in The Wizard of Oz. And remember how all of the people of Munchkin Land were incorporated into the scenery. And then when she said, come out, Glinda said, come out wherever you are. Innocence, magic, awe, wonder. They came out from flowers and buildings and so forth as if they were integrated in a part of everything. So they were hidden, invisible, until they were revealed. Powerful, powerful energies. So let's move into hexagram number 4. And it's Youthful Folly. And this is from Carrie Hone at CafeOSoul.com. We utilize her hexagrams often. So, Youthful Folly, its action is try again. So again, we're at a threshold. And so this is why, remember, try again. You're at the threshold of a new dimension, a new reality, a new set of energies and experiences. What's required of us? Like my example, moving to Paris, it's be raw and vulnerable. To really excel, to embrace it all, and to not only live but thrive, to be childlike, youthful folly. Its hidden influence is return, go back. Return, go back, meaning to soul, to source, to self. Not ego, mind, personality, soul self. Not ego, mind, personality, self. Its underlining cause, molting, transform. So we're being literally transformed. One of the quotes that she uses, and we're going to, with CafeOSoul.com, the word failing is being replaced with the phrase either not succeeding, because there is no failure. There are only choices. So there are no mistakes. There's no failing. It's all based on choice, the choices we make. Which wolf are we feeding? We've been talking about this. So in this quote, to know success, you must make peace with the idea of not succeeding. I'm replacing the word failing with not succeeding. Not succeeding meaning, where have my choices led me? If this or that isn't working, then I need to back up, reassess, take a beat, pause, breathe. Because it's not a failure, it's a choice. Each choice is leading me somewhere. And if those choices aren't leading me to quote-unquote success, then I need to revisit them. I need to revisit my choices that are leading me somewhere. This is our first quote with the images and everything. And it says, no man is free who is not a master of himself. This is Epictetus. And you see this beautiful golden image with the gold Buddha hand. So there's in this raised symbol, it's a mudra, in this just contemplation and peace and stillness. So no person, no man is free who is not a master of themselves, himself. It is to remember there is nothing outside of us. Everything is within us. We have everything we need, and every choice we make determines the experience we experience. That is the main and youthful folly, because this is all about moving forward, and we're in uncharted territory. So here we go. The greatest thing youthful folly teaches is how knowing something with inner certainty means nothing needs to be defended. It speaks for itself. The truth speaks for itself. Inner certainty, inner knowing, doesn't need to be defended. When we are ignorant, we use many words to defend our insecurity or vague ideas or our illicit behavior. All the lies you have to tell, all the the dishonesty. When we are enlightened, we need no words or confirmation of our truth. Teachers come into our lives in many forms. Be open to how this may be happening. Remember, it can be the moment, it can be anything, it can be a person, a place, a thing that comes into our lives. Teachers come in many forms. be open to how this may be happening. The time calls for going back and trying again. See, we're going back to where we began, an octave higher. And thereby, we're going to get it right. It's a fait accompli. The ideal becomes the new reality. Criticism can hurt our feelings, but if we desire to be the best we can be, then we need to be open to input. A teacher may say, no, this isn't the right way. Try again. However, when life does this to you by blocking your way, it is often viewed as a message to give up. Not succeeding is no reason not to try again. Because again, it's just choices. It's a series of choices. So back up, take a beat, take a breath, review, receive, listen, and then, okay, and embark again. So not succeeding is no reason to not try again. Youthful folly creates a state of mind that not only allows you to stand at the threshold of awareness without judgment, it also brings the joy of discovery that ensures your success. Life keeps us in a state of not knowing precisely to keep us growing. Because again, if we knew everything in advance, would we alter the path? Would we even embark on the journey? Let's say that we saw a challenge out ahead. Would we, no, I don't want to do that. And yet that challenge, that opportunity, may bring us our greatest success. Much of the suffering we face has the purpose of leading us back to wonder, innocence, awe, and wonder. One who sees failure, one who sees not succeeding as a stepping stone for success always succeeds. So one who sees not succeeding, running into a roadblock, an obstruction, it can be divine timing. It can be protection, not rejection. So one who sees not succeeding as a stepping stone for success always succeeds, because then you're in sync with source, soul source connection, higher self. The turning point during not succeeding leads you to retreat, regroup, and try again. The underlying cause for youthful folly is that a period of molting or revolution has led to a state of innocence where you can be led. So we got to break things down. We've got to break the old structures, the Piscean patriarchal era, 2,000 plus years. That's got to be, it's molting and revolution. It's breaking it all down so that it leads to a state of innocence, purity, innocence, awe, wonder, being childlike, where we can be led again. Hexagram 17, follow, be led. Higher, and be led by not others, but by your soul source connection, the purity of it, the true north of it. You then retain your internal empowerment and power because you're listening to your soul. It is time to become a student again. And it's the master weaver, the host, and the guest. And yes, we at times we play the role both, right? We are both teacher, student, student, teacher. Youthful folly means confusion and subsequent enlightenment. So it's chaos, confusion, and then subsequent enlightenment, illumination. Youthful folly asks you to recognize how not succeeding is a prerequisite for your success. Do not hide your weakness. It's amazing in business, especially in life, but in business, how many people are afraid to raise their hand and say, I don't understand, or I need more information, or no, I've never done that before, and I need to learn. The humility in that moment is so empowering, because what you're saying is, I have enough value in myself to ask. I need assistance. I don't understand that. What happens when the other person responds? If they respond in a shadow aspect, it says everything about them and nothing about you. It just says to you, not this person, not this way. Let me go about asking a different person or another way. There's great empowerment in that humility. So do not hide your weakness. Because again, when we learn, we reveal our spiritual fulfillment. We reveal, we're polishing the stone. We don't have to know everything. That's the joy of being in reciprocity and interacting. We can sit with the unseen and say, I don't know this. What do I need to know? Or we can sit with a fellow human, a fellow soul, and ask the same. It can only be transformed. So weakness, it can only be transformed into strength by exercising it. See, we're polishing the stone. The journey is a process of discovery. The idea of a destination can be a trap. And the fear of not succeeding can keep you from being the best you can be. Sometimes youthful folly can be a message that you already know or have the answer. So in our innocence, in our willingness to ask, in our willingness to not know, we discover that we do know, or that we can receive what we need to know from source, from the unseen, or from another. We just have to be willing to ask, to not hide our weakness. Because then what happens? We ask, we receive, we understand, we get, oh, now we do know. Now we can assist others. Now a better form of ourselves comes forward. But to hide that and to act like we know it, it's the arrogance, the hubris, the unconsciousness of it. And what happens? It's a dumpster fire. It's a train wreck. Because that keeps building, impacting upon itself. So it's like a multi-car pileup versus an open, moving, thoroughfare in exchange. Like a student approaching a new course of study, know that trial and error will hone your expertise. This enlightenment brings forward a sense of stillness and power. Take everything in stride, but admit admit your choices so you can learn from them. So take everything in stride, but admit your choices so you can learn from them. There are no mistakes, only choices. The master said, in search of stillness, you travel a journey of 1,000 miles. The actual journey has the sublime effect of returning you to your center and strengthening your trust in the way. See, this is about return. It's about crossing a threshold. It's about coming back to the purity of ourselves. And it's about, when we don't know something, trust yourself to ask so that you become in the know. You have returned there. The abysmal water wells up at the foot of the mountain and portrays the inexperience of a youth who seeks a wider awareness. Folly describes the false starts that come from a lack of experience. But this trial and error is necessary to season you. If you want to know success, then you must make peace with the idea of not succeeding. See, they go hand in hand, because that is the honing, the polishing, the exercising, so that we do succeed. It is not about giving up, but it is about listening. It is about knowing, being in sync with what the unseen is, being in sync with the energies. The arc of destiny is forward. So this isn't about recapturing the past. It's about embracing the present future. And how do we do that? And the future, it's like climbing up the mountain. We've only prepared to climb up the mountain. We never thought about descending the other side. We were focused on the climb. But what happens once you reach the vista, the summit? Then the reality, you're like, oh yeah, I have to go back. And even if I went back down the same way I just came up, it's a different vantage point. It's a different experience. It's a descent, not an incline, an ascent. And thereby, they're different experiences. Number three, well, I'm going to bring this in. Number three from the unseen, they said, operational transcendence is at hand. And then I heard domino effect. So operational, so the Matrix. There was the image last week where we had the timepiece, like this antique clock with all the gears superimposed over the globe of Earth. So this operational transcendence is, underlined, at hand. And then it's a domino effect. So as this all occurs, it is going to create a domino effect, a ripple effect. We had that last week, the ripple effect. This domino effect. In Tao's pursuit of excellence, Carving and polishing means removing the layers. It means that we have to be willing to look at ourselves, to not be afraid to look at ourselves, and to recognize when you are that humble, when you are in that state of surrender with yourself, with and for yourself, you are the most empowered you will ever be, because you're willing to look at yourself. You're willing to unlayer, unburden, hone, polish, see your choices, your fears, your anxieties, your shadow, and purify it, empty your vessel, purify it to bring more purity to the shadow and to the light. It's not about eradicating one over the other. It is about the harmony, the yin-yang, the balance, the divine masculine, divine feminine, the purifying of them. And so it's about cutting and grinding. Carving and polishing means removing the layers. Cutting and grinding is the cultivation of the self. Youthful folly is the symbol of something growing beneath a cover. It portrays the illusion of how you believe that you must conquer others to develop power. You don't conquer others. If anything, you conquer yourself. You conquer, so the soul source connection self, conquers the ego mind personality self. Conquer meaning to make whole, equal. To healthy ego mind personality, healthy soul source connection, and the two unified operate together in oneness, in unity. You will find that you must only conquer yourself. Without looking out the window, you will discover the natural way. Without looking out the window or following others, you discover a path within that grows beneath cover. You need not look to anything else to find your way. So this is such a beautiful thing of, you know, it is the path less taken. I mean, let's face it. Let's be brutally honest. 8 billion souls on the planet. Most run away from doing these works of looking in, of addressing themselves, of working with their shadow, to become more whole, more peaceful, more at peace. They run from it. They create illusions, alternate realities, alternate facts. They weaponize their shadow instead of purifying it. So you need not look to anything else to find your way. It's your soul source connection. It is your guiding light. Our second quote, beautiful image. The master said, "One of little words has inner value." So again, it's remembering. And look at the beauty and the stillness and the gold within. You find the gold within. And both of these images for the quotes, they just bring, for me, they evoke such peace and purity and stillness and empowerment and power. So the master said, "One of little words has inner value," because we don't have to, again, bang the drum and scream from the rooftops and roar. And that means that we're insecure. Our position is unstable. When we are, I am, little words, silence. It just is. In the process of learning, you will find that words are a measure of your inner certainty. To stand in silent knowing is real power. When you feel the need to defend yourself, you are merely reassuring your own misgivings. At peace with who you are, energy can mount without the use of words. This is the inner strength that emerges from stillness. Youthful folly can be a message that you are searching for something out there to satisfy what can only be found in here. You have attached yourself to an outcome that is blocking your ability to hear the message. Let go. And the irony, this is hexagram 4, and what is the final number, 6, conflict, and its action is let go. So here, you have attached yourself to an outcome that is blocking your ability to hear the message. Let go. The number of times that message, and it's, you know, it's from Frozen, I believe it's Elsa from Frozen, let it go, let it go. The number of times over the course of the last 7 or 8 years where it was like, let it go, from the unseen, let it go, let it go, let it go. And as painful in the moment as that can be, or challenging, or you're just, oh, you have to surrender, you can in hindsight look back and see, oh, I have let go of all of these things and I have moved from here to way over here. And there's a beauty in that. There is an empowerment in that, and there is a joy in that. Because you do then recognize, in hindsight, you're able to see, yes, I love where I am and where I'm going. Even though I had to work through the challenge and make the choices to let go. Time is, and these can be people, places, things, objects, you know, stuff. Well, let go of it. If it's burdening you, overburdening you, let go of them. Time is perfectly spaced to hear the echo of sincerity. It's all about divine timing. Operational transcendence is at hand. Invisible, occult forces are at play, at work. Be childlike. There's reinvention. There's renewal. And of course, Mercury retrograde. Put an RE in front of any of it. And that's what we have. I'm going to move to Pam Youngen's North Point Journal and share my screen here with you all. Look at this beautiful image. And this is by, it's a photo by Luis Alfonso Orellana from Unsplash. I apologize if I butchered your last name. Look at this beautiful image. And what I love about this is you see an arched doorway on the left and an arched doorway on the right, a window in the center, and then this all these beautiful colorations and these vines. Like, it reminds me of Jack and the Beanstalk with these like indigo turquoise blue orbs growing on this living vine. And the doorways represent thresholds. The window is a threshold. So here's double, you know, like boom, double boom, and an extra. Double thresholds, triple thresholds. There's more than one way, and this living vine and this beautiful indigo turquoise light orbs, all of it alive, all of it kind of surrounding or directing. And when you kind of close your eyes and look at the doors, you can see the upper part that looks like two eyes, down lower in the middle looks like the nose and the mouth. It's like these, and they're inviting us. It's a wood element. It's an earth element. So we're being invited. And there was the doorway on our mantra. So we're being invited to cross the threshold into the new. Let's go on. So this is from, again, Pam Youngen's, the astrologer from North Point Journal. I love her astrology readings. She says, a land between. At the time of the lunar eclipse on March 25th, we crossed the threshold into a, and literally this is like the 10th time the word threshold came out. And so that's why I said at the top of the hour, this word, if there was a single word, it's threshold. So we crossed the threshold into a world that is painted with different colors than we are normally used to. This is going from color to technicolor. The Wizard of Oz was one of the first films, if not the first film, to introduce technicolor. So we live in a world of color, and we're moving into a world, a reality, a realm of technicolor, where things come alive like Munchkin Land. During the two-week period between eclipses, life can seem surreal. Events move quickly, and situations may reach a crisis or turning point. We also experience emotions and physical issues more profoundly. Remember that things are moving quickly, and this is our, from last week, our Eight of Wands and the Cosmic Egg. This Cosmic Egg, a new creation, a new reality. Mercury, and you'll see in the chart, Mercury next week, part two, you're going to see how Mercury is leading the way. And here's the Eight of Wands, swiftness. This is by the Toth Tarot by Aleister Crowley. And what's interesting is it's the symbol on the left is Mercury. The symbol on the right is for Sagittarius. We have the arching rainbow, this our new covenant. So this is a promise from God, from Source. And then in Sagittarius, the center of our galaxy sits at 26 degrees Sagittarius. So there is this overarching deliverance, joy. This is what they're talking about and how it comes swiftly. swift energies. The Eight of Wands in the tarot represents swift communication, rapid communication, things accelerating very quickly. And they can accelerate very quickly out of nowhere. So, adding to the intensity of recent days, solar flare activity has been heightened since last Monday's lunar eclipse. In the 7 days since the lunation, we've had one very potent X-class flare, the highest class of flares, and 17 major M-class eruptions, three of which at M9+, were virtually X-class flares. So we're having a lot of solar emissions from the sun that are hitting Earth. So communications can break down, electronics, things of that nature are owned by, everything is energy. So animals, energies, people, we can be agitated, on fire, sleepless. A lot of people not having good sleep and everything, and which can wear us down and make us tired. So Pam Youngins goes on to say, studies by the National Institutes of Health and other scientific organizations have shown that solar flares have a significant impact on our physical, emotional, and mental state. With so many strong flares occurring at the same time that we are managing the heavy karmic load of eclipse season, self-care is especially important right now. On top of Mercury retrograde, on top of Mars-Saturn coming up, on top of Uranus-Jupiter, on top of Pluto in Aquarius. You get the picture. You get why this is a colossal occurrence moment. She goes on to say, please be very gentle with yourself and kind to others this week. Drinking electrolyte fluids, connecting to nature and getting extra rest and sleep are vital throughout this impactful time. The total solar eclipse. The total solar eclipse on April 8th is a powerful one with strong effects on our individual life path and our collective evolution. Micro and macro, this is affecting the whole of the whole. Everyone, everything, with great certainty. The energies of the eclipse will be building throughout the coming week, so life may feel a bit hectic, emotions could be erratic, and people may be more reactive than usual. This is a good time to focus on releasing and forgiving the past. Releasing and forgiving the past choices that we've made. It's okay. Be okay with being gentle and forgiving of yourself, of the past choices you've made. They don't define you, they refine you. So allow that and be gentle with yourself and others and move forward with humility and grace. Ava is asking, what are electrolyte fluids? Electrolyte fluids, they hydrate your cells. So electrolytes are when your salts are down and so forth, like sports drinks, Gatorade and other things like this have electrolytes in them that replenish your cells, and thereby they rehydrate them more rapidly, more quickly. Going back to sharing my screen here. So this is a good time to focus on releasing and forgiving the past and to cleanse our bodies and our energy fields in preparation for the new moon. And I would say with the unseen, in preparation of the new. It's not just the new moon. This is the new. So it's in preparation of the new. Mercury retrograde. Adding another complication to the mix of energies this eclipse season, Mercury stations retrograde on Monday, April 1st. This was just this past Monday. This event is a very appropriate addition to April Fool's Day, since retrograde Mercury is often called the trickster. And remember, this Mercury retrograde in particular, the unseen has given us the image of the vintage convertible vehicle. I keep seeing it as like powder blue, and it's like 50s, 40s, 50s convertible, and out on the open road, and you can see it like from a female perspective. It's the woman with the scarf over her, coiffed hair, with the sunglasses and the little bits blowing in the wind behind you. It has that essence and feel to it. And how you're utilizing the rear view mirror, so Mercury retrograde, the rear view mirror, to navigate forward movement as you advance. And that they had also said, the unseen had also said, that Christmas comes early, or Christmas can come early. So these things of joy and celebration and gifts and rebirth, renewal, all of these things are embodied in this Mercury retrograde and this moment. And again, Source, God, Spirit, Symphony, Source, Buddha, Allah, the all that is, they don't make mistakes. So there's, while this may be quote unquote challenging, like I said at the top of the hour, my personal experience on Easter, that initial nanosecond response was, are you kidding me? And then it was within seconds or a minute, it was like, nope, this is a really great thing. This, I can see multiple different reasons for why this is a good thing. I just had to allow it. I had to be in that state and presence to allow it. While the messenger planet is moving backward in Aries from April 1st to the 25th, it is important to take our time with all new projects, decisions, and communications. The weeks when Mercury is retrograde are best suited for review and introspection to ensure that all actions and plans are in full alignment with our core needs and best timing. So yes, when Mercury is in retrograde, communications, contracts, appliances, big ticket purchases, you're really meant to, if you can, wait until Mercury goes direct or is not in retrograde. However, there are times where life occurs and you have to address the things that you need to do. You have to take care of life. So do so with great care, calm, consideration, you know, check things 10 times if you need to. There's still something about this Mercury retrograde, however, that is speaking to forward movement, forward advance. And thereby, it's everything is happening for us. It's happening for you. So no matter what, so whether it's the innocence, the Paris description, the innocence, childlike behavior so that you advance and you empower, or whether it's the Easter Sunday example that I've given you, every aspect of it, see every aspect from the point that it is advancing you. And in this particular one, with this Mercury retrograde, with the eclipse season, with all of these colossal energies occurring, it's real advancement. It's not, throw you backwards. No. It's in preparation. It is in preparation for what's to come. And what's to come, meaning who you're going to be. Like when you can see, this is happening so that I'm being set up, meaning prepared, to advance. Puts a smile on your face because you get it. You're like, I get it. And there'll be something about what was stationary, what was before, that you didn't like. There was something about it that you didn't like, wish you could change or want to change. And then all of a sudden the universe and all of these energies go, boop. So again, initial reaction, are you kidding me? And yet right after it, smile. Okay, I get it. Advance. Potential. A new you that is extraordinary. It opens you up. Number 4 from the unseen. I heard the song, it's the lyrics, and they're not exact, but this is what I heard. Hey now, my boyfriend's back. It's a again, I believe from the 60s. It's a great song from the 60s. And I believe it's Hey La Day, my boyfriend's back. The beauty of this was that there was and it's number 4, so it's foundational. There was an instant image of Master Jesus as the protagonist, and then the adversary as the antagonist. And this, hey now, my boyfriend's back. As if soul, source, what Master Jesus and Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary, the purity and the beauty of a story that has stayed with us, of a truth, of a covenant for 2,000 plus years. And this, and how the protagonist saves the day from the bully, the adversary, this oppression and suppression and so forth. So there was this beauty of, hey now, my boyfriend's back. Puts a smile on my face. Let me continue. I'm bouncing a little bit. Please forgive me. It's Mercury retrograde, but I'm I'm trying to weave it all with them. Last but not least, Pam Youngins with North Point Journal says, if major decisions must be made or papers must be signed over the next 4 weeks, be sure to take the process slowly and deliberately. As she has shared with some of my clients, her only major snafu related to a Mercury retrograde period was when she rushed to get legal papers signed and submitted just hours before the station occurred, meaning Mercury stationed retrograde. In her foolish attempt to outwit and outrun retrograde Mercury, I love that she said, in my foolish attempt to outwit and outrun the trickster, Mercury retrograde, the universe, I created a mess that took a full year to sort through and remedy. So we won't have as much of this again, and yet we will, but it's going to be wrapped in the package that I was sharing with you, where there is a sense, when we allow it, there's a sense of forward movement and joy with that forward movement. And hey now, my boyfriend's back. The presence, the energy, the presence of what I'm going to, the divine family, the divine force, presence, energy, returning, the protagonist returning to deal with the adversary, the antagonist. Number five. They said, a possibility, a promise. And it reminded me immediately of the number seven, and where the seven last year, a 7 year, is the foundation, the fulfillment of God's word, God's promise. So, a possibility, a promise. And then they said, manifest, made real, actualized. And this has to do with Mercury. It's number five. And again, on this astrological chart for the upcoming April 8th total solar eclipse, there's Mercury out there in the lead at 24 degrees Aries, because you'll see just to the top is Jupiter in red and then Uranus in green, and Mercury is in green. But with all of this pileup, Mercury has been leading the way. The messenger of the gods has been leading the way, heralding this colossal moment, event, occurrence. As it moves towards, as all of these planets, and of course the moon moves very quickly, spends 2 days-ish per sign in a 30-day period. However, and the moon representing, yes, both the light and what's revealed, what's hidden and what's revealed. And so, but Mercury is the one out leading the way. So it's this, a possibility, a promise, manifest, made real, actualized. So all of this is happening to, it's like, you know, cement the deal is what I'm hearing from the unseen. It's literally like concretization, to take hold, to actualize, to make firm, to make real these changes. Number six, with the unseen, they said, a new dispensation, .. arrives, occurs. And then I heard a reward to the faithful. And so this is a new dispensation, because long ago there was a colleague who said, as Gandhi was to peace and Jesus is to love, there's the beyond. What occurs after that? And as we move from Piscean to Aquarian, patriarchal to matriarchal, it's what lies beyond. It's the world before us, the one that came before, and the one that's before us. That's where all of this is culminating and leading. So this, a new dispensation at six, spirit and service. A new dispensation arrives, occurs, a reward to the faithful. And remember the beautiful saying, Master Jesus, this, blessed are those who believe but do not see. And it had to do with doubting Thomas. It's about faith. There's a faith in the knowing, what you feel, what you know from your soul. And I just want to go back initially and catch in our a threshold moment, reinvention, our main theme, threshold, the level or point at which you start to experience something or at which something starts to happen or change, to invent again or anew, especially without knowing that the invention already exists. I'm open, willing, and ready to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. There's a threshold here. So it's something you experience something, or at which something starts to happen or change. To invent again or anew, especially without knowing that the invention already exists. To remake or make over as in a different form. So Mother Earth, humans, this higher octave of ourselves, of planet Earth, of our reality. I know that can sound otherworldly, and yet, why not? Anything is possible. It has happened before. To this day, there are things that are on planet Earth, around the globe, the Great Pyramids, Mayan structures and villages and peoples, creations all around the Earth. Go to the History Channel and watch, I think it's Ancient Aliens, that series and show. There's a ton of things that exist that to this date in our quote-unquote most advanced state of being and understanding, we still cannot replicate. We still cannot explain. They are still hidden. Like, where did this come from? How did it occur? So while this may seem otherworldly when we speak about ourselves, humans, the planet Earth, and so forth, in this octave higher, in this higher revelation of ourselves, this end of times and a beginning of a new era, it simply means that there's a mutation of all of this that exists. There's one that came before it that's still unexplained, and there's a new one advancing, approaching, becoming, that's already there, it's already real. And thereby, these energies are making us aware of that reality, of these truths. Two last things, and number 7 from the unseen. I heard altered ego hyphen reality, and then I heard like alter ego. So again, there's the ego, mind, personality, soul, self, human, and then there's the higher self, the soul self, the higher self of that human, or that comprises that human. So an altered ego hyphen altered reality, alter ego. And then it's the song from, and we've had this before many shows ago, it's from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Sunset Boulevard. The song is As If We Never Said Goodbye. And the song is the lyrics is magic in the making. So this is all about magic in the making. And I'm going to post the lyrics to the show as well as the video, but really read the lyrics to the show, to the song. Because it's literally like you can apply the lyrics from your human self to your soul self, recognizing yourself for the very first time. Oh, I've been here before. Oh, I know you. I know my way around here. I know my soul self, but I've been so mired in my ego mind personality self, in my 3D reality, that this may feel very new and uncomfortable, and yet so beautiful. You can also recognize and apply this from the standpoint of God, Source, Symphony, Spirit, the higher powers that be, that, I know you. But, you know, we come in, we're born, the veil drops so that we have our literal human heaven on earth experience. Because again, if we knew everything, would it be the same? So you can see how you will apply the lyrics to this song in multiple different ways, all with the premise that it's magic in the making and that it's a return, it's a rediscovery. It is a renewal to a new experience, even though there's a nostalgia, familiarity of the past. Last but not least, and again, we've had this, but it's number 8, and it's again and again and again, the Barry Manilow song, Looks Like We Made It. There's a message from the unseen. It's consistent. It's foundational, it's beautiful, it's eternal, it's number 8, infinity, eternity. Looks like we made it. That is the personification of success. Looks like we made it. It means we did it. It means we are showing up, we are playing our divine roles, and we are choosing to move forward, to advance, to receive, to reveal our spiritual fulfillment. It's already ours. Huge energies. Be very kind and gentle with yourselves this week, next week. I mean, always. Just with extra emphasis this week, next week. Because again, these energies are going to arch out for months to come. And this threshold moment. A threshold moment reinvention. And how you integrate that is dependent on how open you are to receive. I'm open, able, and willing. I'm just going to end with our mantra again. I am open, able, and willing to reveal my spiritual fulfillment. It's a reveal of something that's already been created, planned, is unique and individual. And each thread, as 8 billion souls represent a strand, a piece of the overall tapestry, we cross the threshold into a new reality, into a new experience and state of being. So, can't wait to see you all next week for part 2 of these cosmic energies, the eclipse season and Mercury retrograde and the upcoming Saturn Mars. And these are the backdrops, and then Uranus and Jupiter conjunction. It's really these cosmic, as above, so below energies, this threshold moment. We will see you next week. Be well, be kind. Love to you all. And we will be back next week with part 2.
You've been listening to Dear James Live. Gain intuitive insight, answers, and advice to your life questions and so much more by tuning in next week and visiting DearJames.com.